Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning, good morning. Table leaders, if you guys could help get everybody's attention, please, we're going to go ahead and get started here. Thank you guys so much for being here. I want to welcome all of you to the Nest. Thank you so much during this super busy holiday season for taking time just to come both encourage those around you and to be encouraged. We're super grateful that you're here and that you've decided to spend your morning in this way. My name is Adrienne McLean. I am the Fort Worth Campus Director for the Nest, and just want you to know that the purpose of the Nest in our heart here is to nurture, encourage, strengthen, and train you as you raise the next generation of Christ followers. And so we want to do that by sharing a message with you from a mom who has been there, who has done this stage where you are, and also with the community and the women around you as you sit together at the table. So I want to remind you that this is a really casual, relaxed environment. If you need to nurse your baby, if you need to stand up with your baby, if you need to change your baby, you are just welcome to do that right in here so that you can still participate and still hear what the speakers are saying. Right behind Miss Mildred Creighton is a changing pad back there. If you want to be more comfortable and stand up, or if you want to sit right where you are, any of that is just fine with us. So please let us know how we can just serve you best in that way. We've got several mentor moms around who are more than willing to hold or walk with your babies if you and or your babies are comfortable with that. So feel free to kind of snag one of them from the back if you want a little baby bouncer. They will be happy to do that. Let's see what else. I want to let you know about events that we have coming up in the new year. So after the holiday rush and all of these things that I know that you have in your mind that we're going to get through during this busy season, we will meet back here in January, but it's going to be later in the month. So we've been meeting the first week of every month, but we will meet January 18th when we come back. So our topic that month is going to be the gift of renewal, and I'm so excited about this event. It's going to be a little bit different than what we've done in the past. We're going to have a short devotional, but then we're going to do worship through music. And so it's just going to be a time for you to come back after the rush of the holiday season and the beginning of a new year to be reflective, to just have some time with the Lord, and to worship through song. So I think it's going to be a really cool event. Registration for that will not open until after the holidays, because I know that's not on anybody's mind until then. So January 4th is when you can look for that registration to be open, and January 18th is the date of that event. So really excited about that time together, and then looking forward even beyond that. In February, our topic will be the gift of marriage, and so we're looking forward to both of those things. So that's all the announcements that I have for today. Like I said, please just let your table leader or any of us walking around know how we can serve you. We would love to do that today. I want to go ahead and introduce our speaker to you today. We are just thrilled to have Jeannie Cox with us here today. She has been a long-time mentor mom for the Nest at our Dallas campus. She is just a delight is the best way that I can describe her. She is just uplifting and just wonderful to talk to and be around. Jeannie has 5 children, 4 girls, 1 boy. Her oldest daughter is a freshman in college, and her youngest daughter is 11 and in 6th grade. So she has quite the range and has been there, and I think that she's just going to be a gift for you to listen to today. We're thrilled for you to be here, Jeannie.
Thank you. I will have to tell you, you guys have my heart. If John and I could have said, hey, let's do Fort Worth, we would have. I love Fort Worth. Fort Worth makes me so happy. I have a little question for you to open up after I give you a tip. One of the things when we started A Mother's Heart, just as I had my first child, I'm back working in the workforce. I do preschool. That's about all I'm qualified to do, 3 to 5-year-olds, after 18 years of being at home. And back at the church that I worked at as an executive assistant, when I first moved to Dallas, I get to program for 3 to 5-year-olds for Sunday and Tuesday and Thursday. And so we are all the time encountering kids that just cannot get a grip. Okay, they just are losing their marbles. And I'm also able to work with Highland Park school district for parent education committee, and one of the films that we watched recently was called Brainius, and I highly encourage you to get on the web and watch it. It's about how your child's mind works and how they learn, and there is a school in Dallas called Momentous Institute that's amazing and doing incredible things to learn how kids learn and the best, especially the best environment for kids that are struggling or may have a hard socioeconomic background or not. They may just have a stressful environment. They may actually be really too well endowed, right? But they have a hard, they're on the end, kind of on the fringe either way. And Momentous Institute has this thing that I would buy you yourself. This is a mommy gift for Christmas called the Calm Down Box. Now you can go to the dollar store and put the Calm Down Box together, but then they have these flip cards that are flip cards of what you do with the things in the Calm Down Box. This is actually a flip set for the older kids that I let my kids use. And I came home the other night and my 11-year-old had two of our Calm Down Boxes out and was just playing. Just really, she had had a long day. It had been crazy. And she just pulled them out and just started playing with all the things. And for you Watermark folks here, I would encourage each room or especially each red desk to have a Calm Down Box. And I have seen incredible ground that we could take with a kid who was out of control coming in, and they'll get out the squishy ball and they talk about how your brain is just kind of agitated, which is how I think our minds feel right now in the holiday. I need a Calm Down Box right now. And so, and it talks about how all the sparkles in the little ball just are going crazy, and that your mind is out there and your little amygdala needs to come back and you're, you know, just close and calm. And even doing that, it just helps their little mind do that. So look up Momentous Institute, make yourself or get yourself a Calm Down Box and some of those flip cards, and you will add a lot of value to the craziness when your kid's out of control. The next thing I was going to share, which I was visiting with my friend back here who is from Waxahachie, is when you need to put all the crazy Christmas down and just get out, head on south on 35 to Waxahachie. There's a little place called Bethlehem Revisited, and they take a whole city block and set it up as Bethlehem, and you can follow Mary and Joseph on the donkey through Bethlehem, real Roman soldiers. It will kind of scare your kids. Take your kids dressed up in their little nativity outfit, their little shepherd's costume, because then they'll fit right in. You might lose them, but you'll find them. And so it's a really safe place. And they do free hot chocolate. They have Herod's court with real camels. And the beautiful thing about it is you realize it's not a linear thing that's happening. It's all simultaneous. So one round through, it's free. It's from 6 to 9, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of last weekend and this weekend. You can follow the camels through. You can follow the shepherds through. You can follow Mary and Joseph through. And then you can repeat because it happens every 30 minutes. And it's not a play, but you're in the mix with them. And I just love that because it puts our kids in the middle of that chaos. It wasn't calm and sweet and, you know, the way in the manger. It was probably a pretty chaotic time. You know, Herod had created a lot of upheaval, and the census itself displaced people. So you can imagine if any of you have moved recently, you have here as a church, being out of your element and out of your church and just in upheaval. And that's the way Mary and Joseph were. And oh, by the way, I'll probably have a baby while we go to have this census taken, you know? Can you imagine your husband telling you labor and delivery is on you, upon you with your first child? And oh, by the way, we've got to go out of town and I don't know that we'll make it back. You know, that's kind of where Mary was, which is kind of crazy. So that's my tip for the morning. I want you guys to look around the girls at your table, and I want you to say, if you had to distinguish between jealousy and envy, how would you make that distinction? What's the difference? Is there a difference between jealousy and envy? You have 2 minutes. Okay, so jealousy is something you want what I have. Okay, so what's envy?
Envy is I want to be you.
So it's not the stuff, it's about who you are. Got it. We, for those of you who are in Bible study here, I do BSF and I love it. And we have been studying David and Saul this last semester, looking at the people of the promised land and looking at Saul and his intense envy of David. And it's been one of the most precious distinctions. So you didn't come for a vocab test or a vocab quiz or not even a quiz, a test. You didn't come for a vocabulary lesson. But let me tell you, envy, okay, is about wanting something that somebody else has, especially if you feel like you deserve it more than they do. And with Saul and David, Saul was given the kingdom. David was getting all the praise and glory. Saul has slain his thousands, David his tens of thousands, his hundreds, tens of thousands. And he wanted that praise. He wanted that glory. He wanted that power. He also, as he watched the spirit being pulled away from him as he walked into disobedience, he watched the spirit so manifest himself in David. And he wanted that. Jealousy is actually something. Our God is a jealous God. Jealousy is about, I have something and I'm scared to share it. I don't really know if I have enough. I'm jealous for my time with my husband. I'm jealous for his attention versus all the time he spends in a screen of some kind. I'm jealous for time with my best friend, but she's so distracted because she's not only a mom, but a working mom, and she has all these new friends, or she just moved and has a new house, and I can't get time with her. I'm jealous for something I possess, but I'm not getting enough of. So when you're jealous, you think about yourself as God's precious child and your heart belonging to him. He's jealous for you. And he wants all of you. He wants you to be fully devoted and invested in him. And we get jealous of people who threaten what we have. So Saul was jealous of David because Saul had the kingship. He was the kingdom. It was going to be given to David, and he didn't like that. And so when you talk about jealousy and envy, a lot of times we use it as kind of a seamless term or synonyms, but they're really very distinct. And so we're talking today, when you talk about contentment, when I was praying and thinking about what robs you of contentment, the root of content is three things. Content means the substance of something, the essence of something, the content of a paper, the contents of a gift, the content of a present. And then are you content, which is an adjective, with what your content is, right? Are you content? Are you happy? Are you satisfied with the contents of your presence? And then being content, choosing contentment, contented means satisfied, sated, the way your baby feels when it's fed and it's just snuggled up next to you and it's just completely satisfied and full. So you have a noun, an adjective, and a verb. And so we're going to talk about all of those today, and then how jealousy and envy and comparison weaves in and robs us of the gift of contentment, because we can be content, which is an adjective, with the contents of our life and our heart, and choose contentment and choose to be contented. Contentment is a choice. And so if you don't walk away from anything today, it's not a situation, it's not a circumstance, it's like happiness, it's a choice to be full and to see yourself as full. And I had a little set of sand gathered up. We found some play sand that you make these little bottles with, stored away back in my pantry when we cleaned it out. And I started thinking about and praying about this talk and about your heart as an empty vessel. And today, if my kids had not unpacked my car for me last night when we got in from the soccer game, and this sack was right behind my thing and I didn't think to tell them it's right behind my seat, leave it there, you would see layers of sand. And when we're content in who we are in Christ, in the white sand, in his righteousness, then we start to layer on a sense of fullness and of being satiated and satisfied with his love, so that our hearts are full, we can overflow with his love, and we can rest content, untouched by trouble. That's where we want to go today. So we want to work on those layers. So the gift of contentment, I want you guys to know, when I was in your stage of motherhood, I was just about to have my first baby, I was not very content. I had been raised by a mom who way overshot Christmas. She was an only child, and her love language, if you know the five love languages, was giving. And she gave and gave and gave. And not only that, everything should be fair. So if I get Jeannie something, I've got to get Janie something, and then I have siblings 10, 12, and 14 years older who loved to indulge us and treat us like their kids as well. And so we were kind of like the little Christmas, you know, toys as such. And we got more and more and more. And our tree was packed. And so by the time I got out of college, there was just this gluttonous yuck feel, kind of the way you feel after Thanksgiving dinner, that I felt about Christmas, because my mom not only would do for me, but she would do everybody else the same, because it had to be fair. And as we all know, life is not fair. It's not fair. And so, but she would try to make it fair, because she couldn't imagine her children feeling like one got more than the other. So we just kind of went on Christmas overload. So went away to college, you know, got closer to the Lord, came back home, and one of the worst fights my sister and I ever got in as college students, she's 16 months younger, is I wanted to decorate the tree and make the tree a little bit more Christ-centered. I wanted to kind of take a little bit of the Santa out and put a little bit more of Jesus in. And we got in a knockdown drag out about what ornaments to use on the tree and where they reflected of Christ. Because, you know, I'm kind of going north on, let's just kind of not divorce your heritage, but you realize, hey, there are some things I want to take from home and there's some things I don't. And the way we did Christmas was not, even as a 20-year-old. And so roll the clock forward to 32 when I'm having my first child. I still haven't settled this in my heart. And I go to a seminar at PCPC by a lady who I would highly recommend, as highly as I recommended Mary Flo and Megan to you guys last year, named Ruth Meek. And she did a seminar called Redeeming Christmas. And I'm sitting there as pregnant as could be with Caitlin, who was due in May. And I wept through the whole seminar because she showed me how to take myself and free myself from the shackles and the burden of how I had done and been raised to do Christmas and really make it about Jesus. So my takeaway question for you today, when you feel yourself getting frenzied and harried and way out to lunch with Christmas, is whose birthday is it anyway? Okay, now I have two December birthdays. And so early on, applying the stuff that Ruth taught me, which we're not going to delve into all of it today, but you will feel it trickled in. She's like, spread out the season. Let Christmas be Jesus's birthday and celebrate him. And let their birthday be their birthday and celebrate them. And so December 10th, I celebrate my 14-year-old. December 18th, I'll celebrate my soon-to-be 17-year-old. And then on Christmas, we'll celebrate Jesus. And so she really simplified it, and she's like, spread it out. You know, do things at Thanksgiving for people you're thankful for. Do things at Valentine's for your best friends and people that you love. Why make Jesus's birthday about giving gifts to everybody else when he is the greatest gift? You know, and celebrate him. Have you ever sat back and just asked Jesus, what do you want for your birthday? We ask that questions of ourselves and our kids all the time. And honestly, what I watched with my mom, who grew up pretty impoverished for a while and then her dad made good, is she really used it as an excuse to give her kids everything she wanted to give them and to buy everything she wanted to buy. And as we all know, there's a lot of power in buying. And when you have been in a situation where you felt deprived growing up and not able to do, and then all of a sudden you're able to do, and we live in a pretty affluent community, it feels good to be able to buy and to indulge. And we're giving, but in essence, we're also giving to get, because as we all know as moms, it is better to give than receive. And that gift of getting something for somebody you adore, something they really want or need, feels huge, and there's a lot of power in that. Can we be satisfied with Christmas as Jesus's birthday, and he came in a very simple, very humble way, and celebrating and letting go of all the false expectations and notions we have of ourselves? A holiday comes from two words combined together, because that's the way we ended up using them, holy day. And holy days were times in the early church where we were set apart to rest, just like the Sabbath, to take a Sabbath rest, to remember where we've come from and reflect maybe on the sin of our heart, maybe repent of things we need to repent of, to come bring a sacrifice to the Lord, and then to really resolve, to read the word, to reflect, maybe to record some of our thoughts and minds, to be still, to journal, and then to repent of things we need to repent of, and then to resolve to go forward. And each Sabbath, each holy day was set aside to do that. And most of us in our frenzy around Christmas don't have much of that. You know, but that's what Jesus came to be. He came in a simple, humble manger to help us find that gift of fullness and satiation and contentment. Now, one of the things that helps me do that the most is music. And so all the way through today, you will hear me reference songs. I love Michael W. Smith stuff, mostly because it's so instrumental. And he has a Christmas time CD just called Christmas. And there's a first snowfall that's so anticipating. The King is coming. Jesus has come and he's coming back. As we read through John 15 a few days ago, you saw him get down on his knees to wash the disciples' feet. And it says, because he knew he had come from the Father and he knew he was returning to the Father, he showed the disciples the full extent of his love, even the one that was going to betray him. And you as moms can know where you're coming from. Okay, I came from a place of wanting a family, longing for a husband, longing for a family. I now have one. I know they're hopefully and prayerfully going to go to a place of maturity and to come to know Jesus. Can I get down on my knees and serve them well, even when they're betraying me by throwing a fit when I desperately need to have this conversation, or not going to bed when I need to go wrap and do the things that I can't do with them awake? I mean, they will defy you. Creation is in rebellion against us, and your kids are excellent examples of that all day long, I know. And so it's
a choice. Now, we also love surprises, and the Lord has hardwired us as women to love choices, okay? We like options, and we like surprises. And so I really want to encourage you to find that mystery as you find Christ. One of the other tips I'll give you is if you have, buy for your kids this year, the Noah's Ark, which no longer has Mrs. Noah, and Fisher Price is going to hear from me. Buy a Noah's Ark with Mr. and Mrs. Noah, that's Sarah and Abraham, for every Bible lesson you teach. Make it real. Make it tangible. Get the nativity scene. Get a house. Get a farm. Get a castle. Get all the little people. You have every Bible story known to man. And your kids love to see you reenact things in Bible stories with them over and over and over. So take whatever you're learning here in Starting Blocks and reenact it every week with those little people. They love it. They will sit locked in. And then by the end of the week, let them tell you the story back using the little people. But one thing they love to do is hide and seek. So with your nativities, I encourage you to be content making it Jesus's birthday. The first thing you put up in your house, and I learned this from Ruth, is your nativity scenes. And have one in every room. Another tip she gave us was to have a box with decorations for that room. Have a bin, a plastic bin with just that room. So as young moms, if you can just throw up one room of decorations at a time in your garage or in your closet, just pull out that room and do it. Don't just hodgepodge everything together, and then you're deciding where things go. And have a nativity set, even if it's just a plastic one. We went for prayer. We do Moms in Prayer with each of my kids' classes, and we went, and there's all her kids. Her youngest is in fourth grade now, but her little coffee table is still all set up with all her little nativities. And her big girls, she has eighth grade, sixth grade, and fourth grade, still come every afternoon and play with those. Because it helps you to remember to never forget, which is a Christy Knuckles song I love. Her Thrill of Hope CD, Christmas CD, is my current favorite. You have a lot of her stuff on the playlist that you'll get. But always remember to never forget. And part of resting and remembering is being still, getting down in the floor and really playing with them, talking about the story, keeping it simple. And I want you guys to do that. So in our passages today, we want to learn about the gift of contentment. Contentment, we have to be content with his purpose for us. And the first scripture that the Lord brought to my heart as we looked at it is Colossians 2, 2 through 3a. And it says, my purpose, we all want to know what our purpose is. Why am I here? Is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I just want to encourage you as moms to bring that mystery to bear on your Advent. You know, the whole Secret Santa, the elf on the shelf, the things like that. Kids love mystery and they love to find things. They love to play hide and seek. One of my favorite games is called Spooky Lion. It evolved from Munster when I was younger with my nieces and nephews who were like, they started being born when I was 10. And you go and hide. And let them come find you and then chase them back to base, which is the couch. And we'll still do with my older kids, no lie, my 15-year-old who is in Florida playing soccer as we speak, brought her team over last year and she called on the way home and she's like, Dad, could you do Spooky Lion? And so we go by Kroger and play Kroger Tag for just a minute, which is freeze tag in Kroger, but that's another game. And we get home, all the lights are out, he's hidden in the house somewhere, and the team has to go in the house and find him, and then they all come screaming back to the couch as soon as they find him before he tags them. It's just such a fun game. Kids love hide and seek. Why is that? Because we want to be sought. We long to be found. And back to the garden, which we'll get to in a little bit, back to Adam and Eve. They hid, knowing in their heart, hoping God would come and find them. And show them that he will. And he will find them and he loves them. And then you can hide as a mommy when you're tired. One time I stayed in one of my bathrooms, no lie, for 30 minutes with Jay and his friend going, you go in there. I know she's in there. I'm not going in there. You go in there. I know she's in there. You don't have any guts. What are guts? You know, it's like 30 minutes I sat there giggling, trying not to bust my pants, just waiting on them to come and find me. And he's waiting to be found by us. Play those games with your kids and then love them and teach them that the mystery is Christ. He comes to seek and save the lost, and he also longs for us to curl up in his lap and find him. So play a lot of hide and seek during this season. My Bible, I got this when I was in FCA in college and went to one of the FCA camps. It's called God's Game Plan. And the reason I use this one is because it reminds me every day, is it his birthday or is it my birthday? Am I building his kingdom or am I building my kingdom? And the root of contentment, girls, is a choice. Today, am I going to choose to build his kingdom come or my kingdom come? What am I making? What choice am I making with the decisions I'm making today? And so when you're content with your purpose, which is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, and have the complete riches of full understanding that you're bringing Christ to bear in Christmas, that is a bedrock for contentment because his is redemption and his is washing you clean through his blood. And I want you to know you can do that. The King is Coming is another Christy Knuckles song that just helps build this thrill of Advent in my heart. And it says, open up your eyes to see him, open up your ears to hear him, and then open up your heart to believe him and receive him. So your eyes, your ears, your mind to believe him and your heart to receive him. And it's that progression. Can you open up your eyes to go, this is December, it's Jesus' birthday. Does anybody in my known world know that or know that I know that? Open up and see. Content with God's game plan. Sad to say, this is not a happy thought for most of us, but a lot of his game plan involves waiting. They had waited 400 years for the consolation of Israel to come. They were waiting, waiting, waiting. Nobody likes to wait. Your kids don't like to wait. You don't like to wait. Nobody likes to wait. In Titus 2, and I, sad to say, Adrian is working with like ADD technology special ed right here. I was driving back from Tennessee, and they needed the outline, and so I, off the top of my head, texted them the outline, and literally, no lie, I was two verses off on almost every passage I gave them. So Colossians 2 is Colossians 2 and 3a, and in content with God's game plan, Titus 2 is actually not 9 through 11, it's 11 through 13, and so I totally screwed that up. So I'm sorry that your outlines, it's not Adrian's fault, it's mine. I didn't catch it till last night. It says, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. So present day, be present while you wait. Okay, so the grace of God that has appeared, the angels foretold, you know, he came, he was born, it appeared to all men. He taught us to put off, which is what we'll get to at the end, and to put on the new, put off the old, be renewed, put on the new. You'll talk about renewal with Becca next month. I wish I could come. I'll probably listen if I can't be here. So good. While we wait, there's a lot of waiting involved. So teaching your child to wait well, and then the wait, for those of you who do Camp Gladiator or do something fun, you know that weight bearing is hard. And it's easy maybe the first few reps, and the last few reps it's hard. The weight of waiting makes us strong. Jesus, we're waiting on him to return, his kingdom come. For the blessed hope, now we're waiting for another appearance. He appeared, he taught us about salvation, and now we're waiting again. The glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that his very own. God's game plan involves waiting and it involves pain. Jesus was born to die. Okay, it involves pain. The pain that Mary felt, you more than any other creature on the planet right now with a little newborn babe, if you knew that that baby that you hold and that you cradle and that you sacrificed your morning to come to learn how to be a better provider for was going to be taken and tortured and maligned and crucified, would you put that baby on the altar? Would you let that happen after pouring your heart and soul into him? You as young moms understand Mary better than anybody else. Rest in that. But the purpose of that pain that God prescribed for her is not punishment. It's purity. The punishment that we deserve is on him. The purpose of our pain is to purify us and make us more like him. He's not punishing you if you're going through a painful spill of waiting, of no job, of no finances, of a mother-in-law that's just unkind and cruel, of, you know, children that disobey and defy you. The pain that he's putting you through is making you more like Jesus, helping you understand the heart of the Father, the obedience of the Son. You are becoming more like Christ. And so I just want you to know the purpose of your pain is purity, not punishment. That is God's game plan, and it is full. As you study, don't cease to study the Old Testament. Don't just focus and do like Thomas Jefferson and cut the pieces of the Bible out that you really like and paste them in a new notebook. Read the whole thing. I'm in Ezekiel right now, and I just about can't do it. I just about can't stomach it because it's so, it's heavy, and there's a lot of pain. So know that his purpose, he has a purpose in pain. Now, he also has put us on teams. He's given you a husband, and he's given you a family. Are you content to play the role that he's given you right now? This is just a teaser, but I would beg the mentor moms in your group to do the Five Aspects of Woman study with you this coming year. Please, please, please. Find a way while you're young in your marriage and young in your parenting to do this. This has really shaped me and changed me because I've learned this lady went through scripture and gleaned out the five main roles that we play as women. And girls, we're bullies. You see from the beginning, Eve had FOMO. She thought she was missing out. She had a perfect body, a perfect man, and a perfect home, and she still needed more. Right? She needed the one thing she couldn't have. And we see that in on steroids in this day and age and during this season. I need more. Think Fabulous by Sharpay. I should have put that on the playlist because I need fabulous, right? I need bigger and better and best. And we're bullies to get what we want and to make our home into what we feel like it should be. But this is a teaser. Mistress of the domain, learn what it means that we are called to rule, subdue, fill, and multiply. You're a helper completer. And one of the songs that I put on your playlist is Honey, I'm Good. I love that song because it makes me think, am I loving my man well enough so that when he comes home or he sees a woman he might have in a different day and age wanted to take out or somebody offers themselves to him, which it's happening right, left, and center, he can go, no, I'm good. Is your man getting the best of your love? Is God? Are you content with him? And are you full of love for your man? Another song, another thing that one of my foundation group girls challenged me to, which has changed Christmas for me for the last 2 or 3 years, is the 12 lays of Christmas, not the 12 days of Christmas. And give your man a pack of gum and let him pop out a piece of gum and put it on your pillow or let you know, hey, it's time, I might need some attention right now. And I promise you, girls, if you give your man that pack of gum at Thanksgiving and go at any point in time, you may pop one of these pieces of gum and I am yours. He will be a happy man for Christmas. You will not have to worry. So cook some food that he likes, find some food that he likes, buy some food that he likes, and give him that pack of gum and go, I know this can be a hellaciously stressful time on us and our marriage just because of the stage of life that we're at, but this pack of gum is for you, and just know I'm yours. 12 lays of Christmas. It will change the attitude in your home, let me tell you. But are you a helper completer? Are you just begging him to help you? The life giver in Genesis 3, she unpacks Genesis 1, 2, and 3. The life giver, we were made to conceive and to bring birth and ultimately redemption. Are you bringing life with your words, life with your attitude? Then she teaches us how to be a lady of wisdom, to make good decisions, make good choices, you know, based out of Proverbs, and then the glory of man. And I loved The Greatest Showman. It's one of my favorite movies ever. And I love that song, Never Enough. But, you know, she just keeps saying never enough, never enough, never enough without you. And what you see in that film is your husband. Are you still looking at him with eyes that go, Adam and Eve, the first thing that creation culminates with is a wedding, not childbirth. And once we have our children, sometimes we scoot him aside, sadly to say, much like the placenta. And we're done with him because now we've got the children that we want and we're just focused on raising them. And you're about here helping me with my new full-time job. So get busy, right? And the focus ceases to be him and the priority in the marriage. And that's pretty graphic, but it's the way we treat our husbands a lot of times. You're here to make my dreams come true. Now you've given me children, buck up and help me raise them, okay? And we've lost Christ as our Savior and the lover of our soul and our husbands as our lover and best friend. So I'm just really encouraging you guys, this glory of man thing helps you kind of rearrange the wheel. And there's a lot of egalitarianism, a lot of feminism that has found its way into our church and into our hearts and our minds that is robbing us of the contentment in the role that God's given us to play. And it is offensive this study is incredibly precious and rich and sweet and deep, and she's not mean at all, but the scripture is offensive because I'm going, oh, I do want to rule my husband. I do want to dominate him. My desire is for him, but you've made him head over me. How do I embrace that? It's a lifelong study, but I just want to tell you, never enough. Are you able to look at your husband and go, I'm enough, with or without a bigger house, with or without more kids, with or without more money? I'm content in you. You can get there, but it takes getting in the Word. Content with the people God's put on my team. I'm just going to go real quickly through this. It says if we have food and drink enough, that is enough. Okay, it says a wise woman builds her home in Proverbs, but a foolish one tears hers down. When we are constantly rearranging and constantly criticizing the people in our life, we need to be praising them. That encouragement and thanksgiving and criticism cannot abide in the same mouth. It says, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. One of the marks of the contentedness of Christ that I see is he had nothing, but he possessed everything. He didn't have a house. He didn't have a car. He had friends that deserted him. He came at that specific time in history for a very specific reason. No cell phone, you know, no internet, nothing. But he communicated love deeply and clearly and succinctly and eternally. We are saved and blessed. Does your relationships bear the mark of the only thing that's going to last in this world is God's word and his people? Or are we spending all our time and energy trying to make eternal things that are never supposed to be eternal? You know, our skin, our bodies, our closets, our homes. Are we working on what's eternal? And I think a lot of contentment could be found if we would stop criticizing the temporal things that are going to burn anyway. We're going to get a new body. I'm real glad about that. And we're just going to start celebrating and cultivating depth in the things that are eternal. The way you do that, this is another little tip. There's a Parenting with a Purpose is a workbook that we did a long time ago as young moms and dads with the four nets. And one article out of there, if you can imagine building a gingerbread house, and when you build your gingerbread houses, I want you to think about the five A's. Am I accepting of where God has put me on this planet? And acceptance has to be the foundation. Then the two walls, and this is an article you can read later, so I'm not going to go into full depths about it, of affirmation and affection. Am I verbally expressing my love and affection for my kids? Am I affirming them for who God made them to be, my husband as well? And am I physically available and affectionate with them? And then on top goes the authority, okay, and the accountability that you want. But so many of us start with the authority and the accountability. We haven't accepted our men, accepted our children for who they are, been affectionate and affirming of them, and then on top of that roof. In the article, Chapman is the last name of the guy. I want to say Gary Chapman, but I think he's a singer. The Chapman wrote it, and he it has shaped the way I think. So when I'm at odds with my husband and I'm at odds with my kids, I go, am I accepting you? Am I meeting you where you are? Have I been affectionate and affirming with you? Then can I ask of you the thing I need from you? Basically, make your deposits first. And when you do, you will be content, and the people around you will be more content. And content with the place he has on the planet. It says, I am not saying this because I'm in need. Paul says, I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to be in plenty. I've learned the secret, and again, back to how much fun secrets are, of being content in any ever in situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Girls, I think it comes down to the serenity prayer, and I've spent the last 30 years of my life in recovery. I have siblings who are alcoholics and drug addicts. I struggle with overeating and everything in between. The serenity prayer, you know, God, give me the courage to accept the things I cannot change, right? Or to change the things I can. The serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference. You all goes back to a choice. Back to grains of sand, which you would have seen in my little model. Contentment comes one choice at a time. When you choose God's kingdom over your kingdom. You choose to make Christmas his birthday and not your birthday. Or your kids just indulge me because I need more. Contentment comes when you know that he has a purpose and a plan for you that probably involves waiting and pain. Contentment comes when you know that he has put people on my team who really he designed to frustrate me and to antagonize me. And I can choose to love them and make them feel like they are my beloved because I know my spot on my team. I know my domain's in order. I'm a helper completer. I'm wise. I am a life giver with my words and my time. And I am my man's glory. He is enough for me. Do you know that? When you get that, then you can rest content, untouched by trouble. And that's what I pray for you guys. I'm here for you if you want to email or talk later or have a phone call or a text. Anytime you are in Dallas, I work at Park Cities Press, and you can stop by and play and see me, and we can let the littles have a little wiggle time. But thank you for listening today, and I hope that encourages you and helps you on your journey of embracing the gift of contentment. Lord, thank you for these precious girls. Thank you that you have put them here to know you and love you and serve you. And I pray that they can rest content, untouched by trouble, because their hearts are full and sated with your love and your goodness and your glory. Let them be real today. Let them be honest in their table talk, and let their hearts connect in a way that helps them grow and be nurtured and encouraged and strengthened and trained through the words that are spoken here today. Bless Adrian, bless Becca, bless the leadership team here, Lord, as they faithfully seek to serve and not be served and to pour their lives into this next generation of mamas. May you truly know that it is happy birthday, Jesus, and we're glad you came, and we're glad it's Christmas, because it is about you, and it's not about us. In your precious name we pray. Amen.